Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Morning, church. Happy Sunday. It's the first Sunday of December. And as I was preparing for this message, I've been thinking about you guys all week. I love you guys so much. As you know, we the Westies, besties, come on. But hey, it's December now and it's Christmas season. Who's excited for the Christmas season? Very hectic. As Matt mentioned, there is a gift giving as well as gift wrapping. So make sure you get onto that. But I'm so excited to share the word with you. Today, it's always an honor. And Pneuma Church, for the month of December, we are doing a new series called Emmanuel, God with Us. And I'm really excited. I still can't believe we're in the month of December. And how many of us know December can be a very hectic month? It can be very chaotic. It can be very frantic. Sometimes it can be very dramatic. Very turbulent. And sometimes it can be very distracting. Okay. And this is why I really love this series because, in the midst of all the Christmas season and all the chaos and the busyness, this series keeps us focused on God. It reminds us that He's the reason for the season. And so I want to share with you a couple of scriptures this morning that will encourage us. And it comes from number one, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Just put your finger on that. And then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. So I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 first. Turn with me there. How's everybody going? Good, good. Okay. All right. Verse 14, chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the Virgin Mary shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, starting from verse 18. It should be on the screens behind me as well. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, just being a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow. Oh, what a powerful text. What a powerful scripture. And I love this specifically because this talks about a 700-year-old prophecy being fulfilled through the birth of Jesus Christ. And today, church, I want to speak to you from the title of Emmanuel, God with Us. Turn to the person next to you and say, Emmanuel. Come on, Emmanuel. Turn to the other side and say, God with Us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 tells us that, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. And I want us to notice something here in Isaiah, that Before Mary even knew that she was going to get pregnant, before Joseph even knew what God was doing, before even Jesus was born, God gave a promise. Again, Isaiah 7:14 tells us, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. You see, the context behind this text is that in the days of King Ahaz, Judah was under threat. Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel, they have formed a coalition. They have formed an alliance to go against a bigger enemy, which is the Assyrians. But because King Ahaz, the king of Judah, refused to link up with, you know, Syria and Israel, he refused to team up with the other two, they wanted to wage war against Judah. Their mindset was, if you are not with us, then you are against us. And so they wanted to wage war against King Ahaz. And so God sends the prophet Isaiah to speak to Ahaz, to offer him help, to comfort him, to reassure him. And he sends Isaiah to King Ahaz to tell him to not to fear, to not to faint, that whatever the enemy planned to do, whatever schemes the enemy had against King Ahaz, whatever enemy plans that they had against Judah, it will not stand. Why? Because God is with him. And then the Lord spoke to King Ahaz again, offering Ahaz to ask a sign to authenticate that this prophecy from Isaiah is really, really from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 10 tells us this. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol and as high as heaven. In other words, ask me something that is so impossible to attain. Make it as difficult as you want. Let it be as deep as Sheol. Let it be as high as heaven. Let it be something that is so humanly impossible. Ask me a sign that is so impossible. But Ahaz says, I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, oh, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to worry, man, that you worry my God also? Then Isaiah says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You see, fear was everywhere during that time. There was fear politically. There was fear militarily. There was fear spiritually. And it's in this moment God sends Isaiah to King Ahaz to trust him. To trust him that despite the chaos that is around King Ahaz, despite the plans and the schemes to attack him, God wanted King Ahaz to know that God is with him. Now I want to encourage us today in Yuma Church, you may be going through a tough time. December may not be looking good for you, maybe with family. Maybe with health, maybe with finance. Am I talking to somebody today? Maybe this whole year has been a struggle for you. Maybe this whole year has been hard. But I want to encourage us, church, that God is with us. Amen? God is with us. And I want to challenge us and encourage us that no matter what season we may be facing, no matter what circumstance that we may be dealing in, whatever trials and tribulations that may come our way, that for us to trust in the Lord, to trust in the Lord, to continually have faith in him. He has already given us a sign. He's already given us a promise. You see, for King Ahaz, unfortunately, that wasn't the case. When God said, King Ahaz to let him know that God was with him, Ahaz was doubtful. And when God asked Ahaz to ask of him a sign, Ahaz refused. Verse 12, I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to the test. You see, this wasn't a humble response. This was a rejection of the Lord. Okay. See, Ahaz had in mind to ask help from the Assyrians. He thought because Syria and Israel were against Assyria, he thought he could ask protection and help from the Assyrians. And so he rejects what the Lord offers. You see, God wanted Ahaz to trust him that God will protect King Ahaz, that God will protect the kingdom of Judah, to trust God with his safety, to trust God with his resource, to trust God with his land and territory, to trust God with his people. And instead, King Ahaz trusting the Lord with all his heart. And instead of King Ahaz acknowledging him in all of his ways, because of his fear, because of his doubts, he instead leaned on his own understanding. He was being wise in his own eyes, which led to his downfall. Church, I just want to encourage us, don't let fear make you trust in the wrong things. Don't let fear make you trust in the wrong thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 16. At that time, King Ahaz of Judah asked the king of Assyria for help. The armies of Edom had again invaded Judah and taken captive. And the Philistines have raided down and located the foothills of Judah and the Negev of Judah. And they already captured and occupied Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gedoroth, and Soko with all his village, Timnah with his villages, and Gimzo with all his villages. The Lord was humbling Judah because of King Ahaz of Judah, for he had encouraged his people to sin and had been utterly unfaithful to the Lord. Verse 20. So when King Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, arrived, he attacked Ahaz instead of helping him. Ahaz took valuable items from the Lord's temple, the royal palace, and homes from all his officials and gave them to the king of Assyria as a tribute. But this does not help him. Even during this time of trouble, King Ahaz continued to reject the Lord. He offered sacrifice to the God of Damascus who had defeated him. For he said, since these gods are helping the kings of Aram, they will help me too if I sacrifice to them. But instead, they led to his ruin and the ruin of all of Judah. I want to ask us, church, do we fully trust in the Lord with our lives? When pressure comes, when adversity comes, when crisis comes, when trials and tribulation comes, do we lean on God or do we lean on our own understanding? Are we acknowledging him in all our ways, or are there some things in our lives that we haven't fully submitted yet? Hello. I want to remind us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 8, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil and it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You see, church, the sign has already been given. The promise is already being given. The question is, will you trust it? Will you trust what God has for you? Will you try to go your own way and manipulate things and make things happen? I want to encourage us that before the breakthrough, before the miracles, before we even begin to start comprehending what God is doing, before we even see it, before we even hear it, before we even feel it, before we even smell it, God has already spoken over our lives. He's spoken over my life. He's spoken over your life. He's already spoken over our lives. A promise has already been given. Victory is already in the books. It's his initiative. And so whatever season you may be facing, let the Lord speak into it. Because God is for us. And God is with us. Amen? And church, as relevant as this word is in Isaiah's time and its immediate impact, you know, this sign from the Lord, this promise from the Lord was also a messianic prophecy. And even though Ahaz rejected God's sign, God's so faithful that he still chose to give the world a greater sign. A sign not just for Judah, but a sign for all humanity. A prophecy being fulfilled in the faith, in the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, 700 years later, we would see this messianic prophecy being fulfilled. Jesus, the Savior of the world, Jesus, the Messiah, is now born. And I want to just pause there for a moment and remind us that God is so good on His Word. God is good on His Word. You see, the birth of Jesus Christ tells us that God is not only a promise maker, but God is a promise keeper. Come on, somebody. Last week, I mentioned that when God speaks, His voice, His Word will not return to Him empty. His Word will not come back to Him void, but it will accomplish and achieve its purpose. Church, I want to encourage you, if you've received the sign from the Lord, if you've received a promise from the Lord, if you've received a prophetic dream from the Lord, hold on tight, because God is good on His Word. You see, when God says it, that settles it. Doesn't come back void. Huh. But for Mary and Joseph, this was a confusing time for them. You can imagine their situation. For Mary, she encounters an angel and gets told that she will bear a son. And that this son will be great. That this son will be the son of the Most High. He will have the throne of King David. He will reign forever and his kingdom will have no end. Imagine experiencing something like that. Imagine encountering an angel and saying that your son is going to be the Savior of the world. How overwhelming would that be? And in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Mary said to the angel, how will this be? I am a virgin. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child is to be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And so upon encountering the angel, Mary believed in faith. And for Joseph, this too was overwhelming. You know, he finds himself in this messy situation. You see, in Jewish culture, you know, betrothal, it was legally binding. And to break it off actually requires divorce, okay? And although they weren't living together yet, but they were committed in the eyes of the community. And so after finding out that Mary is pregnant, you can imagine what Joseph was thinking. You can imagine what Joseph was feeling. The pain, the confusion, maybe a sense of betrayal, the questions with no answers. How many of us have been there before where we've been in a situation where we can't find the answers to our questions? Not only that, but Nazareth is a small town. You know, everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody's business. And if Joseph decides to marry her, people will assume that the child is his, and that will bring shame because they're not fully married yet. Or they will assume that Mary cheated, and it will also bring shame. Either way, Joseph carries the weight of the public judgment. Now, if Joseph went the other way and divorces her, Mary will face disgrace. Her future will be ruined. And even her life could be in danger based on the law. People might think that she committed adultery. Huh. So for Joseph, he's navigating in a situation where every option feels wrong. Who's been there before? Place in a tight spot and what's the saying? A hard place in a tight spot and a hard place.
A rock in a hard place.
Where it's like every decision we make, every choice we make confronts and challenges our morals and our ethics. But I love how Joseph responds here. Matthew 1:19 gives us a detail behind the heart of Joseph. And it says this, and her husband Joseph, just being a man, listen to this, unwilling to put her to shame. Unwilling to put her to shame. You know, despite the confusion Joseph was feeling, despite the overwhelming situation that he was in, Joseph's heart was to protect Mary. No public humiliation, no exposing her, no bitterness, no revenge. He wanted to resolve this matter quietly. And right before Joseph makes this painful decision to divorce Mary, heaven interrupts. Matthew 1, starting from verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The angel says, do not fear. See, this statement alone indicates that Joseph was afraid. This statement tells us that Joseph was fearful of his situation. He was afraid of what people might think. He was afraid of what people might say. He was afraid of stepping into the unknown. Come on, I've been there. He was afraid of carrying responsibilities that he didn't ask for. But then the angel of the Lord tells him that this whole situation is from God himself. For that which is conceived is from the Holy Spirit. And so God reveals to Joseph that this is part of, that he is part of something eternal. That this is not a scandalous story. That this is a story of salvation. Verse 21, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the sins from he will save his people from their sins. Verse 24 to 25, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. You see, Joseph said yes to a calling. He said yes. Said yes to a calling. He said yes. He obeyed even when it was costly. He obeyed even though it was going to cost him his reputation. People would talk. People would whisper. Some would misunderstand obedience as weakness. Some would label him something that he never did. But Joseph obeyed anyway. He obeyed even though it was going to cost him his comfort. This wasn't the life he planned. This wasn't the wedding that he imagined. This wasn't the story he thought he'd be living. But Joseph obeyed anyway. He obeyed even though it was going to give him a responsibility that he never asked for. God places the Messiah into his household, into Joseph's care, into Joseph's hands, into his leadership. Joseph didn't apply for this role, but he obeyed anyway. He obeyed even though it was going to bring questions he had no answers for. How do I raise the Son of God? How do I raise the Son of God? How do I explain this to my family? Hi, mom and dad. My son is going to save your sins. How do you explain that? How do you lead in something that you don't fully understand? Guess what? Joseph obeyed anyway. He obeyed anyway, even when it was costly. You see, for Joseph, every step required faith. Every decision required surrender. And every moment required dependence. New My Church, if there's anything that I've learned in my faith walk is that obedience is not easy. Hello, somebody. Come on. Who's with me on this one? Who can agree with me on this? Obedience is not easy. Obedience is not comfortable. It's inconvenient. And sometimes, most times, obedience doesn't make sense to us. Obedience doesn't make sense to us. But if there's anything that I've learned in my faith walk, New My Church, is that obedience will always position you right in the middle of God's purpose for your life. It will always position you right in the middle of God's purpose in your life. And so, New My Church, I want to ask you, are you willing to obey the Lord even if it means it will cost you? Are you willing to obey God not only in the little things, but also in the big things? Are you willing to obey God even if it means to live a life of living sacrifice? Are you willing to not only receive Jesus as your Savior, but to obey Him as your Lord? Hello. You see, salvation is free from Jesus, but following Jesus will cost you everything. Salvation is free, but following Jesus will cost you everything. So what do we know? Number one, God speaks into our situation. Judah was under threat. Fear was loud. Ahaz was overwhelmed. And right in the middle of his situation, right in the middle of pressure, God says, I will give you a sign. Number two, God gives a promise not only for Judah, but for all humanity. This wasn't just a sign in the moment. It was a messianic prophecy pointing us towards Jesus. Number three, God is good on His word. He's one that makes a promise and He's one that keeps a promise. The prophecy was fulfilled through the birth of Jesus Christ. And number four, God invites ordinary people into His extraordinary plans. Mary and Joseph faced confusion, public judgment, and fear, but their faith and obedience positioned them in God's eternal plan. If I can get the band to come up. Is this helping anybody? Am I speaking to anybody in this room today? It's good. Thank you, Jesus. So what does this mean for us, church? What does this all mean for us? If God promised Isaiah and gave a sign to Ahaz, if the promise to prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus, if God was faithful even when Ahaz wasn't, and if Mary and Joseph responded with faith and obedience, then church, what does this reveal about the God that we serve? What does this mean for us? What does this reveal to the God that we worship? It tells us that God didn't just send the sign, but God sent Himself. In every situation, God sends Himself. Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for us, a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 1:15 tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. John 10:13, Jesus tells us that He and the Father are one. You see, church, throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible, we see that God gives us Himself. Throughout Scripture, we see that God is not far, but He is near. Throughout Scripture, we see that God is not distant. Throughout Scripture, we see that God is with us. He's not only fully God, but He's also fully man. And God is with us in our humanity. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, 8 says this, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Here we see God shares our humanity by taking on a human form, experiencing life as we do. God shares our human emotions. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to be sad. He knows what it feels like to be joyful. He shares our human emotions. God shares our physical needs. He knows what it feels like to be hungry. He knows what it feels like to be thirsty. He knows what it feels like to not jump that high. Maybe he can, but you know, he shares our humanity. God also shares our suffering, and he shares our death. Church, I want to encourage us and tell us that God is with us in every season. Come on, somebody. God is with us through His promises. God is with us through His guidance. God is with us through His protection. God is with us through His faithfulness. God is with us through His intercession. God is with us through the forgiveness of sin. God is with us through His mercy. God is with us through His love. And God is with us through His Spirit. He doesn't just avoid us and leave us as orphans. No, even if Jesus is not here physically, God is still with us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. You see, Emmanuel is not just a name. Emmanuel is not just a title. It's a declaration, church. It's a declaration that tells us that God will never forsake us. God will never leave us. God will always walk with us, and God will always stand with us. It's a declaration, Emmanuel, that says God with us. God with us. God with us. He steps into our situation. He steps into our messiness. He steps into our brokenness. He steps into our loneliness. He steps into our confusion. He steps into our fear. He's always with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me just take a moment to thank God for that. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So, this Christmas season, I want us all to remember the greatest gift of all. Jesus, the light of the world, our Savior and our King, who gave Himself for us so that we may be saved, so that we may be reconciled, so that we may be back in rightful relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. I'm going to finish with a commentary from Dane Ortlund. It's on John 3:16. And I'll read the verse and then I'll just break it down for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Church, I want us to catch this. For God, the greatest person ever, so the greatest degree ever, loved the greatest affection ever, the world the greatest object ever, that He gave the greatest generosity ever, His only Son the greatest gift ever, that whoever the greatest invitation ever, believes in Him the greatest commitment ever, should not perish the greatest rescue ever, but have eternal life, the greatest future ever. Why don't we stand? We praise You for who You are. We thank You, Lord God, that You've emptied Yourself and You humbled Yourself and You're obedient to the point of death, death on the cross just for us, Lord God. We thank You, Lord God, for the gift of salvation. We thank You, Lord God, that You stepped into our lives, our messiness, our brokenness, all our junk, Lord God. You stepped in, Lord God. You stepped into our darkness, Lord. And You became the light for us. Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You, Lord God, that You are our King. You are our Lord, but you are also our Savior and our Redeemer. You're our deliverer, oh God. You are our strong tower. You are our shield, oh God. You are our rock, oh God. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Emmanuel. We thank you for God with us. And so, Lord, as we close today's service, Lord God, as we worship together, let us remember, Father, what you've done for us. Let us not forget. Let us be in remembrance of your great love for us and how you gave yourself for us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so, Lord, we thank you. We love you, Lord God. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the majesty, all the power, all the worship, and all the praise. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.